Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. It's been raining most of the day here. It looks like it's going to clear up. We're going to most likely have some baseball. I don't know what the weather is out there. I assume it's really nice. It is.
It's definitely not going to rain, Tony. I can tell you. I'm not a weatherman, but I will predict a no rain today. 0% chance here.
Yeah, okay, well, lots to get to today. Padres, obviously, get game one. Lots going on in the NBA. Denver goes down 2-0. Anthony Edwards is putting on a show, but we'll start with the Padres because they came in last night, took care of business, got a really good start, five innings of work from Yu Darvish once again, and the theme continues, Chris. You get a good start in pitching. Everything else seems to kind of fall in line thereafter. I mean,
yeah.
They played another solid day of clean defense yesterday or last night. And the bats, it took a little bit of time, but when they came in a big way. They were able to put up some runs there in that, what was it, the fifth, sixth inning? Sixth inning, put
yeah.
up six.
All six, yeah.
And it was fun to watch, too. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, the Padres have had that ability this year. They've had the ability to go scoreless for stretches, but they've had the ability to put, like, big crooked numbers up there. I don't know how many times now they've had four or more runs in an inning this year, Tony, but it's more than most teams in baseball, if not the most. And, you know, I was really, first of all, you're right. Darvish has to start it, set the tone. Anytime they get the starting pitching, we've talked about it, they're a good bet to win the game. But they won last night largely because of something that I love to see, and that is great base running. And,
yeah,
you know, you can talk about it, but even Fernando was excited about it, quoted in the newspaper today, just talking about how fun it was to watch his guys do their thing on the bases. Everybody went first to third in that sixth inning. And, you know, look, the double steal may have actually won the ball game when you think about it, because if they don't double steal there, Profar's, you know, ground ball up the middle maybe gets backhanded. They may turn that into a double play. Instead, the infield's drawn in and Profar's, you know, ground ball or, you know, hot shot, but it goes through for two runs and sets the story for that win. So, you know, aggressive base running, we've talked about it. It pays off more times than it doesn't, you know, and you're going to lose some guys on the bases, but last night was a great example of making the most out of what you had.
Yeah, you got to give Toddy a ton of credit because he did all his homework in the previous, you know, while he was watching at first base. He anticipated no look at second base, and he got he got what he was looking for, perfect time, and they didn't even have a throw down there. And it was a masterclass of paying attention and just understanding the game in that moment. And I thought there was good at bats up and down the lineup in that inning. And it's so funny to me. It's not even funny to me. It's almost, gosh, I can't even think of the right adjective to describe it. But Profar, like, playing as well as he's playing and seemingly in on every big rally that the Padres have had, is quite fulfilling to watch.
I love it. I mean, you're so happy for him, right?
Right, right. And then, you know, there's a lot to go around. I thought, you know, I saw some, I didn't see it myself, but somebody was telling me there was some hubbub about how bullpen was managed. I thought it was perfect. I mean, you could have left Yuki in there, but, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You leave him in there too long, he gives up more than he had already given up at that point. After that, I don't know that there is a question of leaving anybody in longer. Suarez once again comes in. Not just a four, he got a five out save last night. It's good baseball, man. It was a fun game to watch, honestly.
Yeah, right. I mean, the wind's blowing in, so you had to, you know, find a way to, you know, as the old saying goes, manufacture runs, and they manufactured a big six, you know, with only one extra base hit in there, and that was the double by Campusano that they cleared the bases. Totally agree with you. You know, when once Darvish goes five, you know, you've got Matsui, you've got De Los Santos, you've got Wandy. Even used Estrada. I don't know. I mean, you know, they gave way a little bit, but you know, Suarez at the back end did a phenomenal job. I think Estrada. Look, I mean, he gives up you know, two base runners to load the bases. Suarez is getting all the credit, but Estrada struck out the first guy to get that first out in that inning, and you know, keep it where Suarez could finish it off. So, you know, I like it as long as they get the starting pitching. The bullpen's been a little wobbly in front of Suarez lately, but we've also seen the bullpen be lights out for stretches this year. So you're going to have some hiccups along the way. But look, if people are going to complain about wins, I don't know what to do for these people out there. You know, this team is
nothing, Chris. You can't do anything.
Well, but we're going to try. You know, that's what we're here to try. Try to appease these people if we can. You know, I just the thing is the starting pitching, and tonight it's going to be on Vasquez, and he's going to have to do well because, you know, they're going up against this guy, this rookie, you know, to Major League Baseball, but Imanaga's been lights out.
He's a rookie vet.
And, you know, he was the rookie of the month, and deservedly so. His ERA is one of the lowest for a young pitcher in Major League Baseball. I think it's the lowest since Fernando Valenzuela came out of nowhere back in the early 80s. So Padres will have the work cut out for them tonight. If Vasquez got to hold them close, give this offense a chance. And one more guy that I think you got to salute last night coming out swinging is Donovan Solano. Almost took the head off that poor pitcher with that first line drive. And
decapitation.
No kidding. I mean, Solano comes out swinging with a couple of hits. I really like this lineup right now. It's got length all the way through to Merrill at the nine spot now. There's really nobody you can, you know, really rest on. And that's a good thing.
That was a lineup without Machado in it, too.
And all right, no Manny.
Didn't even play. It's going to get longer here today. Now, with the lefty on, Solano likely gets another start for the Pods. It'll probably, I mean, outside of Manny being in there, it'll likely be the same lineup, you know? I mean,
you might as well. I mean, look,
I can't.
They've had four consecutive games, Tony, with 10 or more hits. And the last time that happened was over 2 years ago. So, you know, the bats have been just fine. And again, it's going to come down to that starting pitching and holding the fort.
Actually, Solano probably won't start today, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, you're thinking
Manny's back in.
Maybe they could put Solano in. I don't know who they would take out, and that's a good problem to have.
Exactly. So I think he'll probably come off the bench today at some point.
Unless they want to give Jake a day off at first base and put a rise over there and, you know, put Solano at DH. But I wouldn't take Jake out right now. So.
No, and you know, Bogey's got a seven-game heater going right now. You don't want to really mess with him. He's starting to get it going. So.
You know, the more I look at this team, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the lineup is right now. It's starting to, you know, it looks like it's coming together.
Yeah, right now I was looking at, you know, the way I'm looking at this ball club right now. There isn't anybody in this starting nine that I would really want to change out right now. You know, certain guys go through ups and through downs, but I like all nine guys. Solano gives you a consistent 10th. I don't have any problem with Wade coming in, you know, and getting some playing time and, you know, filling in off the bench and a Zokar. I mean, this group is pretty good right now. Overall, I'll tell you the only disappointment I have is the fact that they aren't really even better than 19-19. This team should have a little better record than 500 right now. But, you know, the hiccups in the starting pitching has held them back. And if they can clean this up and get some wins when Vasquez and get some wins when Waldron pitch, they could take off a little bit, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if I'm comfortable saying that, you know, this lineup, I'm not comfortable saying that it's solely on the pitch because at different times it's been different things, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
The bullpen struggle, I said that last week it was the starting pitching. Now that's kind of been a theme when the starting pitching hasn't been great. you know, the Padres' fate has usually been on the wrong side. But it's been different things for him. It seems like right now they've settled in the groove. We haven't seen some of the defensive issues that we were seeing earlier, right? I think some of the stuff is starting to settle a little bit right now, but it's still a work in progress. I like this lineup, but until we see it at full go where everybody's, you know, at least swinging the bat decent, I think, you know, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and risk this, Tony. I'm gonna risk it right now. I'll give everybody my Twitter handle. It's at ChrisLOSD. If you think that I'm jinxing it, but I'm sensing a little bit of a run here.
Don't do it.
I know, too late. I just said it. They've got 5 out of 6. I think they go another 5 out of 6 here. I think, you know, as we get in to the middle of May, I see no reason why this team shouldn't be sitting 5 or 6 games over 500, you know, as things are constructed right now. And, you know, then you get Musgrove back, and, you know, I think you start putting yourself in a good, solid wild card position. Hopefully you can keep up with the Dodgers, but don't worry about the Dodgers. Just keep doing your thing. Get yourself 4 or 5 games over 500 and, you know, settle in for the summer. I really like what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely do too. I think there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like. Now they got 2 more games in this series, a tough matchup here tonight. You know, you want to finish this road trip, you know, playing well. I mean,
yeah.
you already took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks. You take 2 of 3 from a team that's came into this series 7 games over 500. So this is not a team that was playing poorly or anything of that nature. So
no, and I'm predicting a nice little hot spell with not only the rest of this Cubs series, but the Dodgers coming in behind that. So, you know, I like I said, I'm risking a little bit, but I'm really happy with what you're seeing. I mean, you get 10 hits in 4 straight games. That signals that you've got something consistent going. So I'm going to stick with it and hope for the best. Hope for the best. So,
all right, Chris, let's get into some of this NBA stuff because there is some action happening in the Western Conference, especially the Denver Nuggets, who took out my Lakers, or, you know, who I thought at this point there was no one in their way to stopping them. Boy, oh boy, have I been wrong, because the Minnesota Timberwolves have decided that their time is now. They're making the case for their time to be now, as they not only took game one in Denver, they turned around in game two and smacked Denver at their place. Like, they took over the building. I mean, you had defenders laughing in the face of Jamal Murray because they knew they were irritating him so much so that my man threw a hot pack on the field, on the middle of the court.
Yeah.
Almost took somebody's ankle out. That's how frustrated he was.
Yeah, he was. He didn't get a technical foul for it, which I didn't understand. Mike Malone didn't get a technical foul for coming out on the floor during a timeout and yelling in the face of official Mark Davis that he bleeping was horrible. You know, I mean, you could
John Boyd, by the way, has that breakdown if you guys were to go check it out.
I can only imagine what he was saying right there, and I don't know how Mark Davis didn't tee him up, but it all spoke to what you just said, and that's the frustration of the Nuggets. Minnesota was in their head last night. That Denver team did not beat the Lakers, Tony, because that Denver team wouldn't have beaten the Lakers. You know, Jamal Murray has scored a total of 2 points in the first 2 halves combined in this series.
Yeah.
They're completely smothering him. They're even smothering Jokic, and they did it last night without the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert. He wasn't even in the game. And they still were able to frustrate Jokic. You're right. Anthony Edwards, we've talked about this guy. Not only is he an unbelievable player, but his attitude is helping to carry his team. He was basically challenging people courtside last night and then shutting them up when he would make a shot. I mean, honestly, Tony, I half expected him to go over to the Denver Nuggets huddle at halftime and ask him to try a little harder so it was a more difficult game. I mean, this guy, he doesn't care what you bring because he's going to bring something beyond that. And you knew Denver was in trouble last night, Tony. I'm not sure you saw the game because you had to broadcast, but Denver was down 19 points in the second quarter, And to that point, Edwards had only scored 4 points. And I'm thinking, wow, yeah. if he only has yeah. 4 points and they're already down 19, this Minnesota team is good. Charles Barkley, who, you know, we love at halftime, said last night, Tony, that was the best defensive performance he thinks he'd ever seen. And they even asked him about it. They said, ever? And he said, I'm telling you, they have so many tall, long-armed defenders out there that Denver can't do anything. And he was right.
You know what it reminded me of? And this it came to me when I kind of went back and watched the game. They had it playing late night. You know yeah. what that first half reminded me of? You remember when Jordan came back that year and, you know, Orlando defeated the Bulls in that conference final.
Yes,
you know,
the year before, right.
Turning the ball over. The year, they came back the next year. They played them in the final. And they went back, you know, they had Robin on the team. And the first half, I believe, of that first game, I think the score ended up being like 120-something to 80-something.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot. It almost looked like the Magic couldn't even dribble the ball up the court. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, it did me too, Tony. It looked like, I mean, as great as Scottie Pippen used to be when he was, you know, defending all over the floor, Minnesota looked like they had two or three Scottie Pippens on defense last night. And Denver obviously has a major problem. You know, it's hard not to overreact to what we've seen from Minnesota right now and think that they are destined for the finals. I don't see, you know, Denver coming back. I don't see Oklahoma City or Dallas beating them in the next series either.
I mean, all the things that Joker did against the Lakers, like, you know, batting the ball up in the air and, like, just, like, doing ridiculous things and getting the ball at the end of it to keep another possession. Minnesota's, like, knocking, is, like, countering all those. He taps it up in the air, somebody's tapping it out of his hand.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Jokic turn the ball over this much ever.
No.
Like, he is a turnover machine right now.
That's because Minnesota's forcing it. It's impressive to watch right now. The only thing more impressive than what Minnesota did last night, Tony, is what, you know, your guy Jalen Brunson did in the fourth quarter to the Pacers, because he put it into another gear, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't just the points, the sheer number. It was the decisions he made, the shots he made, the timing he made them. He willed the Knicks to that victory. And I don't know that Boston's going to beat the Knicks either. I really like the Knicks and Minnesota right now.
I only had enough time last night to watch the first half of that Minnesota Denver game. I seen all the controversy. Did you watch the game for the Knicks?
I did.
Pacers, what did you make of the last 2 minutes? Seemed like all the craziness was going
at the end of the Pacers game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't. I just made it was a little. I mean, there was four or five.
Did you think the last call was legit, the illegal screen?
Oh. It was in a vacuum, maybe it was the correct call, but they don't ever call that in the fourth quarter at that point. And it's such a judgment call that I think most times you'd let that go. But there were a lot of challenges in the last couple of minutes of the game, and I thought the Pacers the Pacers ended up getting the benefit of most of them, actually, but they didn't get the benefit of that last one. I don't know. You know what? If Indiana would have scored there, I still think Brunson would have just come down and made a game-winning shot anyway.
Hit a bucket.
This guy is non-stoppable. He can't be stopped. So it's really, you know, it's fun to watch right now. We'll see what Boston has tonight. They should beat Cleveland to go along. You know, I think Dallas, I think, has an edge over Oklahoma City just because they got the experience. But I don't know, man. I'm probably totally overreacting to Minnesota and the Knicks, but I just like them both right now.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're overreacting, especially not with the Timberwolves and the Knicks. I think those teams are probably playing the best basketball out of the remaining teams in this tournament.
Yeah, so we'll see if it holds up.
All right, let's get to break. More Padre talk when we return. Gwen and Chris.
Yes, it is lineup time. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Chicago. where we do expect the rain to subside. Manny Machado's back in the Padre lineup tonight.
Woohoo!
Here is the lineup. Jerks and Profar heads into the leadoff spot tonight.
Wait, what?
Yeah, as we surmised last segment, that they might get Donovan Solano in the lineup tonight against a left-handed pitcher. They are getting Solano in tonight, but not at the expense of Jay Cronenworth. Cronenworth is playing as well. It's actually at the expense of Luis Arraez. Arraez will sit out after making three starts with the Padres, going 5-for-15. If you're wondering, Luis Arraez's career average against right-handed pitching is about 338.
Oh, okay.
Against lefties, it's about 275.
Still good.
Still good, but 60 or so points lower. So anyway, Mike Schilt, I think he wants to get Solano in again, the way Solano swung the bat last night. So he does. He gets Profar in the leadoff spot, Fernando, Jake, Manny back in there, but DHing in the cleanup spot, Bogart, Solano hitting sixth, Kim, Azokar gets a start in center field against the left-handed pitcher in place of Jackson Merrill. And surprising to me, Kyle Higashioka starts a catcher tonight. Higashioka already gets one start every time through the rotation,
yep,
because he catches Matt Waldron. For me, that's enough right now. Maybe Campusano's a little ding, needs a night.
I mean, he just came off the night where he got that double.
But yeah, I mean, 2-for-4, 3 RBIs last night. I'd like to have Campusano's bat in there tonight against Imanaga. Randy Vasquez pitching for the Padres. Maybe they feel more comfortable with Higashioka there. Look, Higashioka's, you know, he's a backup catcher. That's what he is. He's 6-for-29 this year. He's got 13 strikeouts. He hasn't drawn a single walk. He ran into one and hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll run into one tonight. And I like Higashioka, but not starting more than once a week. Like, I'm good with, you know, him in there once or, you know, if Waldron gets two starts, then he can be in there twice in a week.
I'm going, looking before the show about why this was happening, but I didn't see any reports.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Yeah, I think it's just what Mike Schilt wants to do tonight. But I just like Campusano in there, you know, as regularly as he can be. You do have a day game tomorrow,
yep,
so maybe that.
That could be it.
That's the reason they want to rest Campusano tonight.
And
get tomorrow,
him in tomorrow. They have Cease.
Cease will be pitching tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're saving him for.
Yeah, well, don't save him. You know, I mean, he's one of my guys. He's one of the guys on this club right now. The Cubs lineup, by the way, does get a boost tonight.
Yes, it does.
With the return of Cody Bellinger from the injured list. He'll be in the DH spot tonight, batting third for Chicago. One bit of good news on the Cubs side. Padre killer Yan Gomes.
Oh, please. Is he out?
Yes, he's out tonight.
Okay.
Miguel Amaya will be doing the catching. I mean, Gomes, he hit another home run last night against the Padres.
I put up his stats last night
on
Twitter.
It's unbelievable.
He's 100-for-100 with 100 home runs
against
and 1,000 RBIs.
In his career. After the Padres finish up their series in Chicago against the Cubs, day off Thursday, travel day. And then the Dodgers are coming to town this Friday through Sunday. Make sure we turn out, support the Padres, create a true home field advantage. Limited tickets are available for all three Dodger games at Padres.com/tickets. All right, make sure you get some tickets. Get on out there. Don't let any Dodger fans into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tickets, we got a pair of San Diego Legion rugby match tickets. They're taking on New England, Snapdragon Stadium. May 19th, tickets on sale now at sdlegion.com. We'll tell you how you can win those shortly. But right now, let's get into a jam-packed Gwen and Chris Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
A little bit earlier for the Big Five today, but we'll get right into it. And in the Big Five, we are going to hear about the Padres' current closer and the Padres' former closer. I did not do this on purpose, okay? I did not, I promise, because I'm kind of over the whole Josh Hader thing. He's in the rearview mirror. We got Robert Suarez here. We're ready to go.
Yeah, we'll prove that he's in the rearview mirror and stop talking about him every 5 minutes.
I will.
This is your last time.
Fair enough. No, because I will bring it up again.
All right.
But those guys, him and Juan Soto, don't bother me as much anymore now that we have like 5 weeks of the season underway.
Okay.
But let's start with Robert Suarez. He's been a revelation for the Padres this season, and the closer role has not been an issue at all this season. And Tony, was you were about to say something about revelation? I heard it. Suarez has pitched 14 games this year. He's 1-0, 0.59 ERA, 14 strikeouts. WHIP is 0.72, which is just out of this world. And for some reason, I didn't grab how many saves
11
he
for 11.
Here. 11 for 11.
Yeah.
I got every stat except for the one that matters most for his position.
Well done.
Tony, has Suarez been better, worse, which we know it's not worse, or about what you thought coming into this year so far?
No, he's been better. He's been better. And, you know, you just don't know, you know, he hadn't made it through a spring training, you know, what before being injured. And so you really didn't know what to expect. And he got through spring. He looked good. Got to the season. And, you know, he's shown his willingness to pitch beyond just the ninth. And he's been flawless in doing so. So, yeah, I think he's pitched. I mean, you knew he had the talent in terms of stuff-wise, but could he do it on the consistent basis that we've seen other closers? And that was the question mark, and he's so far answered it.
Chris, what do you think? Has he been better, worse, or about what you thought coming?
Well, he's been better, but, you know, it's still early, and I caution that he may have a hiccup or two, and I'm looking forward to see how he handles that. You know, I hope he doesn't have any. I hope he just saves 50 for 50. You know, it's interesting to me, Tony, as he throws this fastball 98% of the time. Hitters know it's coming. But what he's doing is locating it so beautifully right now. And he's changing the location from pitch to pitch. He's going up and in. He's going down and away. He's going, you know, middle in. Middle up, you know, up, wherever he's got to go.
Middle.
You're right. Even middle. He got a strikeout on middle last night. But the batters are not, they don't have time to get to the location of the pitch. And that's what's really impressive. So with just the fastball being that good, he's not getting behind in the count, messing around with other pitches. And I think that's making him so good.
He's throwing the fastball for strikes. And let's be real, it's 99 to 101. So, I mean, that's not easy to get be on time for all the time.
That's right. Nobody's on time right now. But, yeah, I'm loving Suarez, obviously.
I love it when Tony says on the broadcast, gas face. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Gas face?
You know, gas face.
That's the face you make when you get it blown by you.
You're like, oh, gosh, gas face.
But look at his I don't know if you see his face when he throws that pitch.
He doesn't
even flinch.
I know.
It doesn't change. No.
No, he just does it so easy.
It's indicative of what it seems like he feels like when the pressure is mounting. Like, it's just no change in him, it seems like.
Interesting to look at his Baseball Savant page, because this year he's only thrown three different pitches, and he's thrown the four-seamer 79% of the time, a sinker only 23 times this year, and then a changeup only 20 times. Last year, he threw his four-seamer 171 times and his changeup 151 times. So he's definitely changed something about.
He doesn't need to change anything right now. Just stick with it until they can catch up to him.
Exactly, Chris. You said it way better than I did. Number four. The Denver Broncos took a unique approach to hiding the team's interest in former Oregon quarterback Bo Nix ahead of the NFL draft. Mm. According to Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer, head coach Sean Payton and the rest of Denver's front office had the quarterbacks in the 2024 class listed in no particular order on their draft board in order to, quote, prevent any sort of bias in discussion and also simply to keep their secret. End quote. Nix was still available by the time the Broncos were on the clock and was subsequently, that's a tough word, and was subsequently subsequently selected by the team with the number 12 overall pick. Chris, Sean Payton overthinking these things?
I don't know what Sean Payton's doing, number one. Number two, I don't believe anything that he says he's doing. You know, he made this whole, you know, secret disclosure a week or so ago that, you know, he was trying to get the Minnesota Vikings to trade up when they didn't need to trade up. Look, they could have Bo Nix rated wherever they had him. Nobody else had him as high as Denver did, though.
Exactly.
I mean, he was a late first round, early second round pick on everybody else's draft board. Denver took him 12th, and now they're trying to tell everybody they got a steal because no one else took him. No one else was going to take him. Denver could have traded down to the 25th spot and still got him. So I don't know why they're trying to, you know, they're trying to make it seem like they're smarter than everybody. Everybody, I mean, the experts think they're dumber than everybody. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. Regardless of where he's picked, now it's up to Lance Nix to Lance Nix is another guy.
Is he a Cardinal?
He's another former athlete somewhere. Oh, yeah, oh, I knew he played somewhere.
Lance Nix.
Yeah,
I played with Lance. Shout out to Lance.
Where did you play with him?
Hey, Milwaukee.
Okay. Milwaukee, yeah, all right. I must have had him on my fantasy team for a week or two sometime. Anyway, now it's up to Bo Nix, you know, to deliver, regardless of where he's drafted, and ultimately that'll determine how smart Denver is or isn't.
Tony, is Sean Payton overthinking these things?
He's not overthinking. He's just lying through his teeth.
Yeah, he is.
As Chris said it perfectly. I don't think anybody else had Bo Nix 12th on their board. So, joke's on you, Denver. Not on everybody else. I know you're playing damage control, but I hope Bo Nix does well, though. I just, you know, just don't like their head coach very much.
Yeah, not many people do.
Not anymore.
Maybe they did have their board like that, and they're like, oh, wait. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was just going to say I did like him, but he seems like kind of a... I don't know if I can say that.
He's a Fugazi now, Tony.
He's a Fugazi.
Fugazi.
I like. Maybe someone came in the room and they're like, "Wait, you have Bo Nix at the top?" And they're like, "No. It's
alphabetical order.
It's all jumbled up. Yeah,
B is for Bo. That's the first one.
Number three.
All right, we go to the other former Padres closer, Josh Hader. He has not pitched well for the Astros so far this season, and fans are getting a little bit restless with him. He has an ERA over 6 and at least 3 blown saves. He's allowed a run in 10 of his last 15 appearances, and now pitching more than one inning comes with a caveat. Well, he said he doesn't do it often, so he needs to get used to it kind of thing. Last night, the Mariners' Cal Raleigh hit the go-ahead homer off of Hader, and fans were livid. Recently, reporters asked if maybe going more than one inning isn't working, and he said, quote, "The team invested in me, and we share the same risk. If I get hurt, it's not good for anybody," end quote. Tony, is Josh Hader... I'm really leading
Wait,
the witness
I'm confused.
Here.
So did he pitch beyond the ninth? I know he did the other day,
I don't
day,
know
right?
specifically of last night, but yes, he has done it recently, and they were asking
and
him,
so they
do
were
you think
asking
it's because
him,
you're pitching more than one inning is why you're struggling? And then he came back with, "The team invested in me, and we share the same risk. If I get hurt, it's not good for anybody." I don't really know if that was taken out of context. I don't, but that was the quote that
okay.
was offered.
So it
in
may
the
not
article.
Even have been answered. I got you. So it may not even have been answering that particular question.
No. Anyway, there's lots of questions okay. right now about Josh Hader.
Yeah,
but,
so what is your question?
The question is, and I'm leading the witness, is Josh Hader concerned with the wrong things?
Based off of what we heard, no, it doesn't seem like
Can I change the question?
Do you have a...
Sure.
Do you have a
I'm going to change the question because I can't ask you what's going on in his head. Do you think he returns to form by the end of the season?
That's a better question.
Thank you.
I think he'll probably return to form. When that is and what role that is, I'm not sure.
Six-inning guy, maybe?
Why, Scream? I thought you said you weren't as mad at him anymore.
Oh, you're right. I shouldn't have made that bad joke.
Okay. Anyway, I think that he'll return to form. But listen, they may not wait for him to do that in the closer spot. They may have to move him around until he starts getting going. But the thing is, Presley hasn't necessarily been that good either, who was their closer prior to Hader getting there. So they have a bunch of issues. So, but to answer your question, I think he returns to form.
Chris, do you think Josh Hader returns
to
form?
I do. He's too good. He's too good not to return to some type of form. But I want to say that I feel like the karma police are winning this battle over Josh Hader, through no fault of his own. You know, I think the fact that he played for the bag, and the bag being a ton of money, and he finally got his money. Not everybody does their best work once they get that huge payday. There's a different level of pressure, a different level of expectation that goes along with that. You know, Josh Hader pitched in a lot of anonymity in Milwaukee, maybe more anonymity even here in San Diego. Yeah. But then when you sign the biggest deal and you're the number one guy in all of baseball, I think there's a different kind of pressure that goes with that. And I think he's struggling to handle that. But I think he's too good for this to, you know, keep up all season long. Just a matter of what role he'll be in once he gets it right.
All right.
Number two.
Best of luck to you, Josh Hader. I'm cheering for you.
Well, you are cheering for him because he's on your fantasy team, and you know darn well the minute you release him.
Oh, I really don't even care.
Oh, yes, you do. The minute you release him, he'll start to definitely catch fire.
I lost two categories on Sunday because of Josh Hader and his blown save, and so I was like, oh, what happened? Oh, yeah, Josh Hader blew another save. Okay.
Sorry.
This is why my season stinks.
Yeah, well, you drafted somebody you personally don't like. That's your fault.
But we always talk about drafting with your head and not your heart, and so I drafted with my head.
You better learn to like him, then. You better learn to like him, then.
Well, if he turns it around, I'll like him. Pittsburgh Pirates fans may have to wait a little bit longer to see Paul Skeens pitch for their team this season, as manager Derek Shelton said he's not ready to be called up. He said his next start is scheduled for AAA Indianapolis this weekend and that they have not beat Pirates in any form or fashion. He went on to say on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, an Odyssey station, quote, trying to live in a speculative world and everybody trying to figure out what is going to happen, that is putting time and energy into something we should not focus on, end quote. Skeen's girlfriend, LSU gymnast Olivia Dunn, got Pirates fans pretty excited on Sunday when she posted a Skeen's Pirates jersey on her Snapchat account, and everybody thought that was the telltale sign that he's going to be called up and started. In 7 starts in the minor leagues, in just over 27 innings this year, he has a .99 ERA and 45 strikeouts. So, Chris,
yeah,
are the Pirates lying to us about when he debuts?
No, I don't think so. You just said he made 7 starts, and then you followed that up by saying he's pitched 27 innings. That's less than 4 innings per start.
They're really throttling
yes,
him back.
Well, okay, and until they can let him go at the minor league level, I'm going to bring him up to the major league level to pitch 2 1/3 innings for. I mean, that's gonna put a burden on the rest of your pitching staff. So, you know, until they feel comfortable with this guy going 6 7 innings, to me at the minor league level, it's a total waste of time to bring him to the major leagues, and I don't think that the Pirates will do that. So, you know, this is the problem with the social network and media world that we live in now. A guy like Paul Skeens, a high draft choice, and the whole thing, cannot just get himself ready for the major leagues quietly. You know, everything he does is going to be, you know, focused upon and made a bigger deal out of than it is. So,
but his girlfriend posted a picture of a jersey.
His girlfriend has, what, 20,000 followers or something? Probably
maybe 20 million followers.
20 million followers? Yeah, that doesn't... Maybe she should get a AAA jersey then just to appease everybody. I don't know.
Oh, that would be funny. Tony, do you think the Pirates are lying to us about his debut?
No, I think that they are waiting so that the clock favors them when they call him up and they get the extra year of service time, and then they go from there. He'll be up. That's what I think they're waiting on.
Yeah, we've seen that with a lot of young players, right? All over baseball.
Right. The difference is now they are eligible, depending on how well they do. They're eligible to make some more money as kind of a compromise in that last CBA agreement.
Right,
so,
but they've got to accomplish some stuff once they come up. They're not going to give them a chance to accomplish it.
No. What I'm saying is, before there was no chance to accomplish some things. Now they have opened it up so that even though they get that extra year, you got a chance to make more money in the first year of that deal, or first year of your time coming up to the big league. So that being said, that's what they're waiting on.
All right. Well, I'm doing some research on Olivia Dunn's Instagram right now.
You're doing far too much research on it. Just to get some followers.
Because Chris asked how many followers she had. I had to go look.
You've been on the page for 10 minutes. Did you need to be on it that long?
I'm back at her 2022 photos at this point. No, she has 5.1 million followers on Instagram. Okay. And Snapchat's even more all of that stuff. So, all right.
That's a lot.
Number one.
Don't go to her Instagram page. Don't. Lots of people are upset at the Tom Brady roast, and mainly the people that are close to him that got roasted too. Tom's ex-wife Giselle, not happy, very disappointed about some of the jokes made about their marriage. Aaron Hernandez's former fiance was also upset about jokes made about Aaron Hernandez during the roast. So, Tony, did these jokes go too far?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to this. Like, in one sense, I don't know.
I really don't know.
I watched a little bit of it. I thought it was hilarious.
It is pretty funny, I gotta say.
Pretty hard. I can understand why somebody who's grieving for someone took exception to that. I can understand it. I honestly don't know. I feel like this is kind of, this is what happens at roasts.
Yeah.
I didn't hear all the jokes, so I can't really say if it was inappropriate. Some of them were inappropriate. I imagine, though, at a roast, especially some of the people who were up there roasting, that it got pretty outrageous at times, I could imagine.
I guess Brady said, now, this roast is really long, by the way.
I heard it's 3 hours long.
That's what it said on my Netflix screen, but apparently Brady said, the bar for a Patriots tight end was pretty low back then. Block, catch, don't murder. That's what Tom Brady said.
All right. Well, he said it.
Oh man, and I'm reading another one. This might be a little too far.
I didn't see all of them.
Why don't you have a ring? What the hell, man? You're one of the best ever. Drew Bledsoe has a ring. Aaron Hernandez had a ring around his neck.
All right, here's the thing.
That's a little too far.
That's a little strong.
All right, here's the thing. Neither of you guys are old enough to recall the famous celebrity Dean Martin roasts of the 1970s. Yeah, and I'll turn back time a little bit and tell you what they were all like. They would pick a very famous celebrity, like a Bob Hope, and they would get 15 of the most well-known comics of the era. Comics of the era. And they would say jokes, none of which were fair. Absolutely every single one of them crossed the line. And that's what these, roasts were all about. Nowadays, if you're going to say something that even approaches the line, it's a lot more politically correct world in which we live in than it was back then. So people are going to feel some type of way about it, and they're going to probably, have their feelings hurt. Brady himself, right, didn't like the Robert Kraft jokes.
That's the thing. He's willing to protect Robert Kraft, but he's not willing to protect the mother of his children.
Well, this is dangerous territory going into a celebrity roast. And I think a lot of the celebrities were probably trying to, crawl up to the line and not beyond it. But in doing so, they crossed over it several times.
These are some of the most brutal comics that we have out there.
That's what I'm saying. So what do you expect them to say if you're going to bring them in? You know what's coming. I can sympathize with the folks who were, hurt. But I also, this is what happens at roast.
I mean, if you go back, I know, again, Don Rickles. Do you remember this? Does that name even ring a bell?
Yes, he was
Don Rickles was a big-time comedian back in the day.
Wasn't he like a roaster?
Yes! Don Rickles, the nicest thing he would the nicest thing Don Rickles would say crossed over the line. That was before he even got warmed up.
If you've ever watched one of these roasts, you know what you're in for. So Tom Brady knew what he was in for.
Especially these, as you said, it's gravy. Especially the comedians that were in
Tony Hinchcliffe, like, Jeff Ross,
like
Mickey Glazer,
the most brutal.
Yeah, yeah. They've been sitting around listening,
but you know what?
Thinking about these jokes.
But
forever.
Part of it was that Tom Brady might have known what he was getting into.
That's
but
true.
The Kim Kardashians and the Giselles of the world weren't prepared to be attacked as hard as they were.
Well, was Giselle there? Oh, she wasn't there.
Think she was there.
Oh, but she's commenting her.
Yeah, so she not being there. Kim should have known what was coming. I mean, she's there. You're at the roast.
You're at the roast. That was pretty. I got to give her credit for showing up because
she handled it too.
She did. All right, that's it for the Big Five. I almost said the Game Five for some reason. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to go over some of the bets from yesterday in the Daily Gambit. My parlay. How did it work out? We'll tell you on the other side.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, how are you? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Hour number two, the final get-together here. A little while, we'll be turning things over to Sammy Levitt for the Padre pregame show. Little rain in Chicago today, but our weather person on the scene, Dave Marcus, says the rain will subside in time for baseball. 4:30 start is scheduled for Imanaga, who's been great. 0.78 ERA for the Cubs starter tonight. He faces a Padre lineup that does have Manny Machado back in there. But Luis Arraez gets bumped tonight, replaced by Donovan Solano, who had a couple of hits last night. Padres getting an all right-handed hitting lineup in there tonight, except for Jake the Snake. Jake Cronenworth will hit in the number three spot, the only lefty in the Padre lineup tonight. Cody Bellinger returns for the Cubs. Randy Vasquez starts against Shota Imanaga. I said this yesterday. Padres are now 18-11 when their 1-4 starters are on the hill.
Yep.
And they are 1-8 in the game started by Waldron and Vasquez.
Mm.
Vasquez has started two.
Wait, they're 1-8 when those two guys?
Yes.
Oh.
Vasquez has started two. They've lost both. And, you know, look, you got to score some runs. You know, I mean, you can't expect Vasquez going to go out there and throw, you know, 7 no-hit innings. It'd be nice.
No, you definitely got to score runs.
You know, he's filling in for Musgrove. You got to get him some runs. And this is a tough, you know, tough guy to get runs off of. Imanaga hasn't given up hardly any runs all year. So the Padres have a tough assignment ahead of them this evening as they try to clinch the series, take the first two games, and climb over the 500 mark.
Wow.
Padres are 19-19 right now and looking to climb into the black, as it were. All right. Elsewhere, one-day game. It's been all Rangers today up in Oakland. They still play in a major league stadium, the A's, at least for now. 15-5.
It's been that way for a while.
Over Oakland. Yeah, Texas had 15 in the first, two or three innings
of
this game.
17 hits in the first three or four innings.
Yeah, Marcus Semien, the former A, 4 hits, 5 RBIs, including a home run for the defending World Series champs. Let's find out what else we got coming up and what happened last night in today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly.
Yes.
Let's go into what we did yesterday.
By the way, Imanaga.
Yes.
34 2/3 innings this year. He has allowed 5 runs. only three of which have been earned.
Really?
So, good luck, Padres.
Joseph on the chat said, don't forget the .75 whip.
Okay, Joseph, I won't. He's got a .75 whip. That's exactly right. Now, he's given up two home runs.
Ooh.
That's about the only way he's given up runs. Is with the homer.
I'll tell you when we make our bets for tonight with how I'm feeling.
Okay.
My parlay last night was plus 2,400. It was going to have a lot happen. I already knew that. The Padres needed to win, which they did. Luis Arraez had to have two hits. He did not. So there
and
you go.
Jake did not.
I know.
Homer.
I never say the last leg because I
no,
don't need
you
to.
Never even get to the last
no,
leg.
I did. Yeah,
are you going to try again tonight?
That was my fury again. Yeah, I'm going to try again tonight. But
the Columbus Fury of the Professional Volleyball League.
Correct.
They're in town tonight to take on the Mojo. Head on out to Viejas Arena, see some pro volleyball.
Yeah. Knicks were 5.5-point favorites over the Pacers yesterday. We both chose the Knicks. Knicks did win 121-117. We lose the bet.
Didn't
Denver.
Cover.
No.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Come
That's
on,
right.
Knicks.
Denver -6.5 last night against the T-Wolves. You went Denver, I went T-Wolves, and the T-Wolves crushed Denver 106-80.
They almost didn't have to play the second half. I mean, it was such a one-sided game. I took the Nuggets because, come on, you're the defending NBA champs. You're on your home floor.
Yeah.
And you have to win.
And you lose
and
by 26?
And you just get obliterated.
Like, what?
That was quite the statement by Minnesota. It was also a bit of a statement about Denver, honestly. I mean, I expect you to put up a little tougher fight trying to hang on to your championship belt.
I say the same thing. I don't know where the Jokic brothers are. Maybe they're the good luck charm for the team.
Yeah, Jokic had no effect on the game. Neither did Jamal Murray. So Minnesota took them both right out.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that. Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. Over under 36.5 points, which we thought was insane. I actually went over. You went under. And it was 43 points for Jalen Brunson. So.
He had 22 at the end of three quarters. Then he put up 21 in the fourth quarter.
Thank you for that, Jalen Brunson.
And he had the ball every time. And they would double team him. And he would just dribble around it and away from it and make another basket.
That's so
annoying. He is so on fire right now. He has four straight 40-point games in the playoffs. There's only one player in NBA history who's ever had a longer streak than that. Jerry West once had six straight 40-point games in the playoffs. Even the most Jordan ever had was four in a row.
Wow.
And Jalen Brunson has four in a row himself.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Florida Panthers on the ice, -1.5 on the puck line over the Bruins. We both chose the Bruins. We were both correct. Bruins win 5-1.
Yeah, we were wise there.
Walker Buehler started last night for the Dodgers. Over under 5.5 strikeouts in the game. Both of us went under. Both of us were correct. He went four. He had four strikeouts.
Yeah, but he only pitched four innings, which is what we thought.
Yeah,
because he was coming back from a long layoff. Yes.
Then the final bet was the Padres -1.5 on the for the Cubs, and you chose Cubs. I chose Padres.
Yeah,
Padres.
Good on the Padres there. Favored on the road.
Yeah.
And they made it pay off. You had a 5-1 night, Scrape. Very good.
I'll take it.
I was less than that.
All right. Let me do my parlay real quick.
Okay,
and then we'll
I'm ready for
yours.
You.
A reminder, though.
You know, by the way, there's a lot of listeners who find the parlay itself laughable that you even keep trying this.
Wait, what? Who said that?
A lot of people.
A lot of people?
Yeah, I'm going to use your terminology. People. I think one person tweeted in that they found it to be laughable.
I didn't see this
that you
tweet.
Keep trying to do these parlays, and you come up so helplessly short every time.
They look so good every time I do it.
Yeah, well, that's you fall for the same thing that all the bettors fall for. And don't forget, that's how they build new casinos on people like you playing parlays.
Well, good thing I'm not actually spending any money. Right, but a reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan.
By the way, he's outside the window fast at work. He's putting another fantastic pregame show together for all of you.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's down the hall a little bit.
All right. My parlay for tonight is going to be a Shota Imanaga parlay. I don't actually have like a real number on this one, Chris. So here's what we're going to do for
this. Just say plus 1,500. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. What are the...
Under 4.5 strikeouts for Imanaga.
4.5 Ks under.
Yeah.
Boy, that's risky right there.
I know.
The way the Padres sometimes flail.
You're going to see a theme. I'm going to maybe jinx him.
You're expecting him to have his first bad Rocky outing tonight.
Correct. My next one would be over 4.5 hits allowed.
4.5 hits. Over.
Yeah. And then the final one.
Padres have had 10-plus hits in 4 straight games.
Well, that works for me.
See if they can keep it going.
Last one would be over 1.5 walks allowed.
That's, and you're saying, so 2 walks or more. This guy's only walked 4 guys all year.
Tonight's the night.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
That's a really, really, really random parlay, but I'm just trying to jinx him.
I hope you, well, if you jinx him, then that means he'll end up pitching another gem.
No. I don't reverse jinx, Chris.
Yes, you do.
All right.
Tonight we got the Celtics home to Cleveland, game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Not a lot of faith in the Cavaliers. Boston favored by 12.5.
Oh, wow.
This is a playoff game. All right, just for that, I'll take Boston to blow them out in game one.
Wow.
What are you doing?
Boston, I'm not sold on the Celtics.
I'm not either.
I'm going to take the Cavs.
I'm not sold on them, but the thing with Boston is they try 100 threes per game. They only have to make about 40 of them. That's 120 points right there.
Okay.
And they seem to make that many. OKC opens up at home against Dallas. OKC a 3.5 point favorite over Luka and company.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma City because I cannot stand the Dallas Mavericks.
You know, Luka has lost me completely. His behavior on the floor is just putrid. I mean, really. I'm so tired of watching this guy complain and swear all over the place. Act like you've been there before.
Has he, though?
Yeah, he's an all-star, plays an MVP kind of guy.
You're right.
Just play basketball.
All right.
Saying all that, I'll still take Dallas. I think it'll be a close game tonight.
All right.
Jason Tatum, 2.5 threes. Over or under? I have to go over. Tatum shoots
Does he attempt like 7 or 8 a game?
It's at least more than that, even. The Celtics never stop shooting threes. Yeah. I'm going to go over for sure here.
Me too.
I feel very good about
very
that.
Very low for him.
I don't want to do a 5-star, but, you know, I'm thinking about it. Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. The Rangers are up 1-0 on Carolina. Game 2 in the Big Apple tonight. Carolina's favored, though. On the road by 1.5 goals. Do you believe in the Canes to tie it up or the Rangers hold serve again?
I don't know anything about the Canes.
I know you don't.
So I'm going to go Rangers.
Oh, well, what do you know about them?
They're from New York.
Can you name a Ranger?
Mark Messier.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
Just for
I
know.
Can't actually name an active Ranger.
I think you're within like 30 years of being correct.
Give me one Ranger name.
Mike Zibanejad or something. It's a crazy name.
I have heard of that name.
But this guy scores 2 or 3 goals every game.
Would have never pulled it, though.
Yeah, I think that's the only Ranger I can give you right now. Carolina ties the series, but are they going to win by 2 on the road? I'll take Carolina. They're supposed to really be good. Timo Teravainen. Before you ask me to name a hurricane.
Okay.
That's my hurricane I can name.
Timo Teravainen?
Teravainen, number 86.
Wow.
For the Canes. Finally, Chicago Cubs, San Diego Padres. 9 runs over under.
Ooh.
I'm going to go under. 9 seems like an awful lot with Imanaga on the mound. I hope Vasquez can keep it in check. And the Padres can squeak out a win here.
You're going to go under.
I'm going to go under. I think they're going to have to, you know, win a low-scoring game. But maybe Imanaga's just due for,
a clunker.
To get blown up. I hope you know, we'll see.
I am going to go under.
You're also going under.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll let you know how it turns out. Now, quick chance for you to win 2 tickets to see the San Diego Legion. Take on the New England Free Jacks.
Rah, Free Jacks, yeah!
This is a rematch of last year's Rugby League Championship.
Oh, okay.
Which was won by the Free Jacks. So the Legion looking to get revenge at Snapdragon Stadium May 19th. Tickets are on sale now at sdlegion.com. Be the first person to correctly answer this question at 833-288 0973. Padres head into tonight's game with a record of 19-19.
Okay.
There are two other teams in Major League Baseball that currently have records that are exactly 500, like the Padres. There's two other teams besides the Padres. Hmm. You got to name them both, and you can go see some rugby. Call in 833-288-0973. Gwynn and Chris returns after a check of traffic with some insight from A.J. Preller, who was on with Ben and Woods earlier this morning. Stick around.
It's too soon to say. How are you guys viewing the Musgrove spot in the rotation with Vasquez? Is it someone that start by start, or how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I think we'll just evaluate today and kind of go from there. Take inventory how today goes, and then we're hopeful, but not going to push that. You know, Joe, relative to the days off, you know, misses. There's another start in his spot, and then after that, he's got a chance to be back. So, you know, it looks like a two-start hiatus potentially, hopefully.
Really good news if Musgrove only misses the two starts, one of them being tonight. Randy Vasquez will take on the Chicago Cubs, and you'll hear the game a little more than an hour from right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt's pregame show is coming up shortly. Make sure you listen closely to Sam Levitt's pregame show. It will contain, he guarantees me, Scraby, the show will contain a statistic provided him by me.
I hope it doesn't happen.
He better do it. He promised me that I'm going to be part of the pregame show
like
today. I'm
really
excited by it.
Into the stat.
He doesn't, but I'm trying to talk him into it anyway, because I'd love to hear, you know, I'd love to get a mention on Sam Levitt's pregame show. That'd be a big deal to me.
Is that going
to
make your day?
No. My day's already been made. Long before I got here, Scraby and I hit the links today. Out at, where were we? Tekeloti?
Yep, Tekeloti.
Scraby had a, you know, great front nine, included a near hole-in-one.
It was close.
Like, it was really close.
Yeah,
it was close. Like a tap-in for birdie. And then Scraby, you know, played well, as he always does. But on the back nine, Scraby kept score. His addition, which I didn't double check, but according to your addition, I finished one shot ahead of you.
Trust
on the
me,
back
nine. I
counted
nine. It three times, Chris.
So I
counted it three
that
times.
That made my day, I got to tell you, because I consider you a very good golfer, but I consider that I'm on the rise. I'm getting a little better.
I got to say, you in your new rescue club.
Yeah, that helped me.
It's a game changer for you.
It really helped me. I got a couple of new clubs in the last week or so, and that has really helped me.
Game changer.
So, you know, to finish a shot ahead of you on the back nine, even though you win the overall day, that's a good feeling.
Missed a lot of putts today.
You did. But I could say I did.
All
I had a couple
did.
That were like right in the middle of the cup, and then they decided, no, I don't want to go in there.
There was one that should have been in.
Right? Remember that one?
And some sort of force of
the trick of the gods or something happened.
Moved it from where it was going. Yeah. It was in the middle of the cup and then somehow just went to the right.
Did not get that one. Did not understand that, but it was a good day all the way around. If Sammy Levitt mentions my name on the pregame show, it may be too much to take.
You know what I got to say about those golf courses, too, real quick before we move on? They are, well, Tekeloti, number one, is very narrow. Very narrow.
Quite narrow, yeah. You don't have a lot of room there.
The
for
greens
sure.
are not easy whatsoever because they're so tiny and they have little anthills that they put the flag on. So you're putting uphill at all times.
We had a tough day in that regard, you're right. And I thought the greens were like as hard as this table.
Greens were fast. They were pretty hard. But again, they're too small.
Too small.
Yes, they're very small.
For duffers like you and I.
We would have hit so many more greens, Chris.
Like I said, we didn't play badly today.
No, not at all.
And
I
feel good about it.
No, Chris hit some great shots.
Couple of NFL notes. Oh, but before I get to that, Giovanni was the guy who got the answer.
That's right.
Right. The other two teams that have 500 records currently are the Rays and the Nationals. So, Giovanni, good on you. First-time winner. on this show. So we're happy for him. He'll go to see the SD Legion and the New England Free Jacks.
Brutus fan said that he went when he won with Ben and Woods, and he said it was an awesome experience.
I think rugby live would be pretty cool. I got to say that's not something I've done yet.
Yeah, me neither.
By the way, Giovanni guaranteed Scraby he's not rooting for the Free Jacks.
He did say that.
No, he didn't. Okay. I want to give you a couple of quick Free NFL Jacks notes. I don't know. Did you see this one? Rashad Penny is back in action.
Where?
He has joined the Carolina Panthers, the old Aztec.
Okay.
He'll be competing at the moment with the likes of Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Jonathan Brooks, who was a second-round draft choice this year. But this is maybe a shot for Rashad Penny to get back in, you know, back in business. He only played in three games last year for the Eagles and only carried the ball 11 times all season.
Yeah.
So it was a lost year for Rashad Penny. Hopefully he'll be able to stay healthy, maybe get a little more work in Carroll.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. How are you? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Hour number two, the final get-together here. A little while, we'll be turning things over to Sammy Leavitt for the Padre pregame show. Little rain in Chicago today, but our weather person on the scene, Dave Marcus, says the rain will subside in time for baseball. 4:30 start is scheduled for Imanaga, who's been great. 0.78 ERA. For the Cubs starter tonight, he faces a Padre lineup that does have Manny Machado back in there. But Luis Arraez gets bumped tonight, replaced by Donovan Solano, who had a couple of hits last night. Padre's getting an all right-handed hitting lineup in there tonight, except for Jake the Snake. Jake Cronenworth will hit in the number three spot, the only lefty in the Padre lineup tonight. Cody Bellinger returns for the Cubs. Randy Vasquez starts against Shota Imanaga. I said this yesterday. Padres are now 18-11 when their 1-4 starters are on the hill.
Yep.
And they are 1-8 in the game started by Waldron and Vasquez. Vasquez has started two.
Wait, they're 1-8 when those two guys?
Yes.
Oh.
Vasquez has started two. They've lost both. And, you know, look, you got to score some runs. You know, I mean, you can't expect Vasquez going to go out there and throw, you know, seven no-hit innings. It would be nice.
No, you definitely got to score runs.
You know, he's filling in for Musgrove. You got to get him some runs. And this is a tough guy to get runs off of. Imanaga hasn't given up hardly any runs all year. So the Padres have a tough assignment ahead of them this evening as they try to clinch the series, take the first two games, and climb over the 500 mark.
Wow.
Padres are 19-19 right now and looking to climb into the black, as it were. All right. Elsewhere, one-day game. It's been all Rangers today up in Oakland. They still play in a major league stadium, the A's, at least for now. 15-5.
It's been that way for a while.
Over Oakland. Yeah, Texas had 15 in the first, two or three innings?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Of this game.
17 hits in the first three or four innings.
Yeah, Marcus Semien, the former A, 4 hits, 5 RBIs, including a home run for the defending World Series champs. Let's find out what else we got coming up and what happened last night in today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly.
Yes.
Let's go into what we did yesterday.
By the way, Imanaga.
Yes.
34 2/3 innings this year. He has allowed five runs, only three of which have been earned.
Really?
So, good luck, Padres.
Joseph on the chat said, don't forget the .75 whip.
Okay, Joseph, I won't. He's got a .75 whip. That's exactly right. Now, he's given up two home runs.
Ooh.
That's about the only way he's given up runs. With the homer.
I'll tell you when we make our bets for tonight how I'm feeling.
Okay.
My parlay last night was plus 2,400. It was going to have a lot happen. I already knew that. The Padres needed to win, which they did. Luis Arraez had to have two hits. He did not. So there
and
you go.
Jake did not.
I know.
Homer.
I never say the last leg because I
no,
don't need
you
to.
Never even get to the last
no,
leg.
I did.
Are you going to try again tonight?
That was my fury again. Yeah, I'm going to try again tonight. But it's
the Columbus Fury of the Professional Volleyball League.
Correct.
They're in town tonight to take on the Mojo. Head on out to Viejas Arena, see some pro volleyball.
Yeah. Knicks were 5.5-point favorites over the Pacers yesterday. We both chose the Knicks. Knicks did win 121-117. We lose the bet.
Didn't cover.
No.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Knicks.
Denver minus 6.5 last night against the T-Wolves. You went Denver, I went T-Wolves, and the T-Wolves crushed Denver 106-80.
They almost didn't have to play the second half. I mean, it was such a one-sided game. I took the Nuggets because, come on, you're the defending NBA champs. You're on your home floor.
Yeah.
And you have to win.
And you lose
and
by 26?
And you just get obliterated.
Like, what?
That was quite the statement by Minnesota. It was also a bit of a statement about Denver, honestly. I mean, I expect you to put up a little tougher fight trying to hang on to your championship belt.
I say the same thing. I don't know where the Jokic brothers are. Maybe they're the good luck charm for the team.
Yeah, Jokic had no effect on the game. Neither did Jamal Murray. So Minnesota took them both right out.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that. Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. Over under 36.5 points, which we thought was insane. I actually went over. You went under. And it was 43 points for Jalen Brunson. So.
He had 22 at the end of three quarters. Then he put up 21 in the fourth quarter.
Thank you for that, Jalen Brunson.
And he had the ball every time. And they would double team him. And he would just dribble around it and away from it and make another basket.
That's so annoying.
He is so on fire right now. He has four straight 40-point games in the playoffs. There's only one player in NBA history who's ever had a longer streak than that. Jerry West once had six straight 40-point games in the playoffs. Even the most Jordan ever had was four in a row.
Wow.
And Jalen Brunson has four in a row himself.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Florida Panthers on the ice, minus 1.5 on the puck line over the Bruins. We both chose the Bruins. We were both correct. Bruins win 5-1.
Yeah, we were wise there.
Walker Buehler started last night for the Dodgers. Over under 5.5 strikeouts in the game. Both of us went under. Both of us were correct. He went four. He had four strikeouts.
Yeah, but he only pitched four innings, which is what we thought.
Yeah,
because he was coming back from a long layoff. Yes.
Then the final bet was the Padres minus 1.5 on the for the Cubs, and you chose Cubs. I chose Padres.
Yeah.
Padres
win 6-3. Good on the Padres there. Favored on the road.
Yeah.
And they made it pay off. You had a 5-1 night, Scrape. Very good.
I'll take it.
I was less than that.
All right. Let me do my parlay real quick.
Okay,
and then
I'm ready for you.
A reminder, though.
You know, by the way, there's a lot of listeners who find the parlay itself laughable that you even keep trying this.
Wait, what? Who said that?
A lot of people.
Lot of people?
Yeah, I'm going to use your terminology. People. I think one person tweeted in that they found it to be laughable.
I didn't see this
tweet.
That
you keep trying to do these parlays, and you come up so helplessly short every time.
They look so good every time I do it.
Yeah, well, that's and you fall for the same thing that all the bettors fall for. And don't forget, that's how they build new casinos on people like you playing parlays.
Well, good thing I'm not actually spending any money. Right, but a reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan.
By the way, he's outside the window, fast at work, putting another fantastic pregame show together for all of you.
Where is he?
I don't know.
See
he's
him.
Down the hall a little bit.
All right. My parlay for tonight is going to be a Shota Imanaga parlay. I don't actually have like a real number on this one, Chris. So here's what we're going to do for
this. Just say plus 1,500. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. What are the...
Under 4.5 strikeouts for Imanaga.
4.5 Ks under.
Yeah.
Boy, that's risky right there.
I know.
The way the Padres sometimes flail.
You're going to see a theme. I'm going to maybe jinx
him
into.
You're expecting him to have his first bad Rocky outing tonight.
Correct. My next one would be over 4.5 hits allowed.
4.5 hits. Over.
Yeah. And then the final one.
Padres have had 10-plus hits in 4 straight games.
Well, that works for me.
See if they can keep it going.
Last one would be over 1.5 walks allowed.
That's, and you're saying, so 2 walks or more. This guy's only walked 4 guys all year.
Tonight's the night.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
That's a really, really, really random parlay, but I'm just trying to jinx him.
I hope you, well, if you jinx him, then that means he'll end up pitching another gem.
No. I don't reverse jinx, Chris.
Yes, you do.
All right.
Tonight we got the Celtics home to Cleveland, game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Not a lot of faith in the Cavaliers. Boston favored by 12.5.
Oh, wow.
It's a playoff game. All right, just for that, I'll take Boston to blow them out in game one.
Wow.
What are you doing?
You know, Boston, I'm not sold on the Celtics.
I'm not either.
I'm going to take the Cavs.
I'm not sold on them, but the thing with Boston is they try 100 threes per game. They only have to make about 40 of them. That's 120 points right there.
Okay.
And they seem to make that many. OKC opens up at home against Dallas. OKC a 3.5 point favorite over Luka and company.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma City because I cannot stand the Dallas Mavericks.
You know, Luka has lost me completely. His behavior on the floor is just putrid. I mean, really, I'm so tired of watching this guy complain and swear all over the place. Act like you've been there before.
Has he, though?
Yeah, he's an all-star, plays an MVP kind of guy.
You're right.
Play basketball.
All right.
Saying all that, I'll still take Dallas. I think it'll be a close game tonight.
All right.
Jason Tatum, 2.5 threes, over or under. I have to go over. Tatum shoots like I mean, he that's
Doesn't
all
he attempt the, like 7 or 8 a game?
It's at least more than that, even. The Celtics never stop shooting threes. Yeah. I'm going to go over for sure here.
Me too.
I feel very
that seems
good about
very
that.
Very low for him.
I don't want to do a 5-star, but, you know, I'm thinking about it. Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. The Rangers are up 1-0 on Carolina. Game 2 in the Big Apple tonight. Carolina's favored, though. On the road by 1.5. Do you believe in the Canes to tie it up or the Rangers hold serve again?
I don't know anything about the Canes.
I know you don't.
So I'm going to go Rangers.
Oh, well, what do you know about them?
They're from New York.
Can you name a Ranger?
Mark Messier.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
Just for you
I
know.
Can't actually name an active Ranger.
I think you're within like 30 years of being correct.
Give me one Ranger name.
Mike Zibanejad or something. It's a crazy name.
I have heard of that
name. But this guy scores 2 or 3 goals every game.
Would have never pulled it, though.
Yeah, I think that's the only Ranger I can give you right now. Carolina ties the series, but are they going to win by 2 on the road? I'll take Carolina. They're supposed to really be good. Timo Teravainen. Before you ask me to name a hurricane.
Okay.
That's my hurricane I can
name. Timo Teravainen?
Teravainen, number 86.
Wow.
For the Canes. Finally, Chicago Cubs, San Diego Padres. 9 runs over under.
Ooh.
I'm going to go under. 9 seems like an awful lot with Imanaga on the mound. I hope Vasquez can keep it in check. And the Padres can squeak out a win here.
You're going to go under.
I'm going to go under. I think they're going to have to, you know, win a low-scoring game. But maybe Imanaga's just due for, to get blown up. I hope you know, we'll see.
I am going to go under.
You're also going under.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll let you know how it turns out. Now, quick chance for you to win 2 tickets to see the San Diego Legion. Take on the New England Free Jacks.
Rah, Free Jacks, yeah!
This is a rematch of last year's Rugby League Championship.
Oh, okay.
Which was won by the Free Jacks. So the Legion looking to get revenge at Snapdragon Stadium May 19th. Tickets are on sale now at sdlegion.com. Be the first person to correctly answer this question at 833-288 0973. Padres head into tonight's game with a record of 19-19.
Okay.
There are two other teams in Major League Baseball that currently have records that are exactly 500, like the Padres. There's two other teams besides the Padres. Hmm. You got to name them both, and you can go see some rugby. Call in 833-288-0973. Gwynn and Chris returns after a check of traffic with some insight from A.J. Preller, who was on with Ben and Woods earlier this morning. Stick around.
It's too soon to say. How are you guys viewing the Musgrove spot in the rotation with Vasquez? Is it someone that start-by-start, or how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I think we'll just evaluate today and kind of go from there, take inventory how today goes, and then we're hopeful, but not going to push, that, you know, Joe, with all the days off, you know, misses, there's another start in his spot, and then after that, he's got a chance to be back, so... Yeah, it looks like a two-star hiatus, potentially, hopefully.
Really good news if Musgrove only misses the two starts, one of them being tonight. Randy Vasquez will take on the Chicago Cubs, and you'll hear the game a little more than an hour from right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt's pregame show is coming up shortly. Make sure you listen closely to Sam Levitt's pregame show. It will contain... He guarantees me, Scraby, the show will contain a statistic provided him by me.
I hope it doesn't happen.
He better do it. He promised me that I'm going to be part of the pregame show today.
Like,
I'm really excited by it.
Into the stat.
He doesn't, but I'm trying to talk him into it anyway, because I'd love to hear, you know, I'd love to get a mention on Sam Levitt's pregame show. That'd be a big deal to me.
Is that going
to
make your day?
No, my day's already been made. Long before I got here, Scraby and I hit the links today out at, where were we? Tekeloti.
Yep, Tekeloti.
Scraby had a, you know, great front nine, included a near hole in one.
It was close.
Like, it was really close.
Yeah,
it was close. Like a tap in for birdie. And then Scraby, you know, played well, as he always does. But on the back nine, Scraby kept score. His addition... Which I didn't double check, but according to your addition, I finished one shot ahead of you.
Trust
on the
me,
back nine.
I counted
nine.
It three times, Chris.
So I
counted it three times.
That made my day. I got to tell you, because I consider you a very good golfer, but I consider that I'm on the rise.
I'm
getting a little better.
I got to say, you in your new rescue club.
Yeah, that helped me.
It's a game changer for you.
It really helped me. I got a couple of new clubs in the last week or so, and that has really helped me.
Game changer.
So, you know, to finish a shot ahead of you on the back nine, even though you win the overall day, that's a good feeling.
Missed a lot of putts today.
You did. But I could say I did.
All
I had a couple that were like right in the middle of the cup, and then they decided, no, I don't want to go in there.
There was one that should have been in. And,
right? Remember that one?
And some sort of force of
the trick of the gods or something happened.
Moved it from where it was going. Yeah. It was in the middle of the cup and then somehow just went to the right.
Like, did not get that one. Did not understand that, but it was a good day all the way around. If Sammy Levitt mentions my name on the pregame show... It may be too much to take.
You know what I got to say about those golf courses, too, real quick before we move on? They are, well, Tekeloti, number one, is very narrow. Very narrow.
Quite narrow, yeah. You don't have a lot of room there.
The greens are not easy whatsoever because they're so tiny and they have little anthills that they put the flag on. So you're putting uphill at all times.
We had a tough day in that regard, you're right. And I thought the greens were like as hard as this table.
Greens were fast. They were pretty hard. But again, they're too small.
Too small.
Yes, they're very small.
For duffers like you and I.
We would have hit so many more greens, Chris.
Like I said, we didn't play badly today.
No, not at all.
And
not at all.
I feel good about it.
No, Chris hit some great shots.
Couple of NFL notes. Oh, before I get to that, Giovanni was the guy who got the answer.
That's right.
Right. The other two teams that have 500 records currently are the Rays and the Nationals. So, Giovanni, good on you. First-time winner. on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy for him. He'll go to see the SD Legion and the New England Free Jacks.
Brutus fan said that he went when he won with Ben and Woods, and he said it was an awesome experience.
I think rugby live would be pretty cool. I got to say that's not something I've done yet.
Yeah, me neither.
By the way, Giovanni guaranteed Scraby he's not rooting for the Free Jacks.
He did say that.
No, he didn't. Okay. I want to give you a couple of quick Free NFL Jacks notes. I don't know. Did you see this one? Rashad Penny is back in action.
Where?
He has joined the Carolina Panthers, the old Aztec.
Okay.
He'll be competing at the moment with the likes of Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Jonathan Brooks, who was a second-round draft choice this year. But this is maybe a shot for Rashad Penny to get back in, you know, back in business. He only played in three games last year for the Eagles and only carried the ball 11 times all season.
Yeah.
So it was a lost year for Rashad Penny. Hopefully he'll be able to stay healthy, maybe get a little more work in Carolina. I'm a Rashad Penny fan.
Me too.
When he was healthy and running it for Seattle, he was pretty dangerous there for a while.
He had like the last five games of the year, he had like three or four of them over 100 yards rushing.
Had some big games there, but it hasn't worked for the last couple of years. The other news today, the Chargers had been after, according to sources, wide receiver Tyler Boyd, former Bengal. You know, yes, I'm talking about the slot receiver.
Yeah, I do.
He signs with the Titans today, so the Chargers do not get him. Chargers did get DJ Shark the other day, though. Did you catch that one?
DJ Shark, doo 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 doo. DJ Shark, doo 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 doo.
Wow,
you never heard that before?
Did not know he came with a song.
It's a baby shark, doo doo. Okay,
did not know.
Never mind.
So the Chargers got Shark, but they did not get Boyd. So
I like Tyler Boyd. I think he's a good receiver.
Pretty good. Not bad. So a good pickup for maybe the Titans as their young quarterback, who is it, Will Levis, tries to get things going there in Tennessee. All right. A.J. Preller was on the morning show with Ben and Woods. You can hear the entire interview. Just go back to 97.3 The Fan SD. Call it all up. You can hear most of it, or you can hear some of it right now. First up, AJ just traded for Luis Arraez. I'm curious this myself. What did AJ Preller say about Luis Arraez and how he values him as a complete player?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Luis, he's obviously been, you know, he's one of the tougher outs in the game. He's incredibly productive in terms of putting the bat on ball, getting hits, which is important for sure. You know, contributing to your on base and kind of setting a tone for your team. And, you know, just again, like moving the baseball, it's something we do really well as a team. It's been part of our identity so far in the first month of the season. And it's just another, you know, super quality bat that can move the baseball around, set a tone for our club. He brings tremendous energy. And I think you just have to look at last year with the Marlins. Like he helped that team get to the playoffs, and he did it by getting a ton of hits. And I think if you talk to their staff, talk to Skip Schumacher, they'll talk about, you know, how quality a player he is and what kind of hitter he is and what he meant to their team. And I think we're hoping for a similar effect with us.
All right, AJ Preller. You know, it's funny that AJ just slips into answer mode so easily.
He does.
Does he not?
He really does.
He just goes right on into that staccato delivery.
Because when you talk to AJ, he doesn't have that delivery. Like when you're talking to him off the air kind
right.
of thing.
But when he's going into an answer, he's, and I'm not a, not somebody who can mimic somebody's voice.
Me neither.
But if I were somebody, I think AJ'd be a guy you could do very easily.
Well, Luis Arraez is a really good addition to our ball
club. Yeah,
you
sound like Scraby trying to do AJ Preller there, is what you sound like, to be honest with you.
I'll take it.
But yeah, that's, yeah, Luis Arraez. Also, wanted to hear this answer. Ben and Woods asked AJ to evaluate not only Matt Waldron, but what about Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito? Remember, Vasquez and Brito, they're the two guys that you're, you know, basically getting something from in exchange for that Juan Soto move. And I'm curious to hear what AJ had to say about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, you know, you're looking at guys that are continuing to develop, you know, in Brito and Waldron. They got opportunity last year at the big league level. And you know, I think they're continuing to learn and grow, and there's going to be some growing pains from that standpoint. So, you know, I think with Burrito, I think he, you know, spring training, he performed very well. And as we've gotten to the year, I think, you know, ultimately the pitch mix, the ability to command the heater, that's always been his strength, is throwing a lot of fastball strikes with the changeup, kind of getting to a consistent breaking ball has been a little bit of a challenge for him so far. And again, he's kind of had, you know, he's kind of filled in when we've needed him, you know, and filled some different roles so far for us. And I think getting into a consistent spot with all of his pitches, definitely his breaking stuff, kind of getting that pitch mix down and getting into a role that I think he's able to learn from and grow with and be consistent with. I think that'll be, you know, part of his deal. And then I think with Matt, again, like the knuckleball, we've had, you know, there's been some moments of, you know, some really good games, the Giants and Dodger games earlier this year. Last couple outings, he struggled with it and kind of, you know, how much he blends the knuckleball in with his other stuff. And that's all part of him learning and growing as a big league pitcher. I think for us, like, you know, for any team, it's not just our situation this year, our roster. You've always got to have, you know, guys from your system and ultimately come up and contribute, some guys from internal. I think the nice part is, you know, we've seen some guys like, you know, Jeremiah Estrada, both at AAA and the big leagues, and now Adrian Morey home, that, you know, are interesting, and they keep getting better. So, you know, not sure exactly who or what. I know we've got, you know, we've got some numbers in depth, and we've got some guys we're going to give opportunity to. And I think if we're going to be a very competitive team, those guys are going to take that opportunity to step up and keep getting better. And some of the flashes we're seeing, they're going to make them more consistent.
All right, AJ, thank you very much to Ben and Woods. Like I said, you can hear that entire interview. Go back to 97.3 The Fan SD. We got to check traffic before we can bring Sam Levitt in for the pregame show.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive Thru Oil Change, your 15-minute instant drive through oil change. Got a collision now on the Balboa off-ramp south on 163, and the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a stalled vehicle in the second lane from the left, northbound 15 before Bernardo Center. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your drive through oil change. It only takes 15 minutes and you don't have to get out of your car. With all the rain lately, Valvoline is also offering replacement wiper blades. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com, SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Sammy Levitt is hovering. He's ready for the pregame show.
He's definitely hovering.
But before we get to him, though, this just came in. Rashi Rice, the KC Chiefs wide receiver, already in trouble for speeding and causing a big accident. Now a suspect in an alleged assault in Dallas. We'll keep our eye on that. See you tomorrow.
Too soon to say. How are you guys viewing the Musgrove spot in the rotation with Vasquez? Is it someone that start by start, or how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I think we'll just evaluate today and kind of go from there. Take inventory how today goes, and then you know, we're hopeful, but not going to push that. You know, Joe, with all of the days off, you know, there's another start in his spot, and then after that, he's got a chance to be back. So. Yeah, it looks like a two-star hiatus potentially, hopefully.
Really good news if Musgrove only misses the two starts, one of them being tonight. Randy Vasquez will take on the Chicago Cubs, and you'll hear the game a little more than an hour from right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt's pregame show is coming up shortly. Make sure you listen closely to Sam Levitt's pregame show. It will contain... He guarantees me, Scraby, the show will contain a statistic provided him by me.
I hope it doesn't happen.
He better do it. He promised me that I'm going to be part of the pregame show
like
today. I'm really excited by it.
Into the stat.
He doesn't, but I'm trying to talk him into it anyway, because I'd love to hear, you know, I'd love to get a mention on Sam Levitt's pregame show. That'd be a big deal to me.
Is that going
to
make your day?
No, my day's already been made. Long before I got here, Scraby and I hit the links today out at, where were we? Tekeloti.
Yep, Tekeloti.
Scraby had a, you know, great front nine, included a near hole in one.
It was close.
Like, it was really close.
Yeah,
it like
was close.
Like a tap in for birdie. And then Scraby, you know, played well as he always does. But on the back nine, Scraby kept score. His addition which I didn't double check, but according to your edition, I finished one shot ahead of you.
Trust
on the
me,
back
I counted
nine.
It three times, Chris.
So I was
counted it three
that
times.
That made my day. I got to tell you, because I consider you a very good golfer, but I consider that I'm on the rise.
I gotta
I'm
say,
getting a little better.
I gotta say, you in your new rescue club.
Yeah, that helped me.
It's a game changer for you.
It really helped me. I got a couple of new clubs in the last week or so, and that has really helped me.
Game changer.
So, you know, to finish a shot ahead of you on the back nine, even though you win the overall day, that's a good feeling.
Missed a lot of putts today.
You did, but I could say I did.
All
I had a couple
did.
That were like right in the middle of the cup, and then they decided, no, I don't want to go in there.
There was one that should have been in.
Right? Remember
and,
that
and,
one?
And some sort of force of
the trick of the gods or something happened.
Moved it from where it was going. Yeah. It was in the middle of the cup and then somehow just went to the right.
Did not get that one. Did not understand that, but it was a good day all the way around. If Sammy Leavitt mentions my name on the pregame show, it may be too much to take.
You know what I got to say about those golf courses, too, real quick before we move on? They are, well, Tecolote, number one, is very narrow. Very narrow.
Quite narrow, yeah. You don't have a lot of room there.
The
for
greens
sure.
are not easy whatsoever because they're so tiny and they have little anthills that they put the flag on. So you're putting uphill at all times.
We had a tough day in that regard, you're right. And I thought the greens were like as hard as this table.
Greens were fast. They were pretty hard. But again, they're too small.
Too small.
Yes, they're very small.
For duffers like you and I.
We would have hit so many more greens, Chris.
On it, we, like I said, we didn't play badly today.
No, not at all.
And
not at all.
I feel good about it.
No, Chris hit some great shots.
Couple of NFL notes. Oh, before I get to that, Giovanni was the guy who got the answer.
That's right.
Right. The other two teams that have 500 records currently are the Rays and the Nationals. So, Giovanni, good on you. First-time winner.
Yeah,
on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy for him. He'll go to see the SD Legion and the New England Free Jacks.
Brutus fan said that he went when he won with Ben and Woods, and he said it was an awesome experience.
I think rugby live would be pretty cool.
I
got to
go
say that's not something I've done yet.
Yeah, me neither.
By the way, Giovanni guaranteed Scraby he's not rooting for the Free Jacks.
He did say that.
No, he didn't. Okay. I want to give you a couple of quick Free NFL Jacks. Notes. I don't know. Did you see this one? Rashad Penny is back in action.
Where?
He has joined the Carolina Panthers, the old Aztec.
Okay.
He'll be competing at the moment with the likes of Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Jonathan Brooks, who was a second-round draft choice this year. But this is maybe a shot for Rashad Penny to get back in, you know, back in business. He only played in three games last year for the Eagles and only carried the ball 11 times all season.
Yeah.
So it was a lost year for Rashad Penny. Hopefully he'll be able to stay healthy, maybe get a little more work in Carolina.
I'm
a Rashad Penny fan.
Me too.
When he was healthy and running it for Seattle, he was pretty dangerous there for a while.
He had like the last five games of the year, he had like three or four of them over 100 yards rushing.
Had some big games there, but it hasn't worked for the last couple of years. The other news today, the Chargers had been after, according to sources, wide receiver Tyler Boyd, former Bengal. You know,
yes.
I'm talking about the slot receiver.
Yeah, I do.
He signs with the Titans today. So the Chargers do not get him. Chargers did get DJ Shark the other day, though. Did you catch
DJ
that one?
DJ Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. DJ Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Wow.
You never heard that before?
Did not know he came with a song.
It's a baby shark, do-do. Okay.
Did not know.
Never mind.
So the Chargers got Shark, but they did not get Boyd. So
I like Tyler Boyd. I think he's a good receiver.
Pretty good. Not bad. So a good pickup for maybe the Titans as their young quarterback, who is it, Will Levis, tries to get things going there in Tennessee. All right. A.J. Preller was on the morning show with Ben and Woods. You can hear the entire interview. Just go back to 97.3 The Fan SD. Call it all up. You can hear most of it, or you can hear some of it right now. First up, AJ just traded for Luis Arraez. I'm curious this myself. What did AJ Preller say about Luis Arraez and how he values him as a complete player?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Luis, he's obviously been, you know, he's one of the tougher outs in the game. He's incredibly productive in terms of putting the bat on ball, getting hits, which is important for sure. You know, contributing to your on base and kind of setting a tone for your team. And, you know, just again, like moving the baseball, it's something we do really well as a team. It's been part of our identity so far in the first, first month of the season. And it's just another, super quality bat that can move the baseball around, set a tone for our club. He brings tremendous energy. And I think you just have to look at last year with the Marlins. Like he helped that team get to the playoffs, and he did it by getting a ton of hits. And I think if you talk to their staff, talk to Skip Schumacher, they'll talk about, how quality a player he is and what kind of hitter he is and what he meant to their team. And I think we're hoping for a similar effect with us.
All right, AJ Preller. You know, it's funny that AJ just slips into answer mode so easily.
He does.
Does he not?
He really does.
He just goes right on into that staccato delivery.
Because when you talk to AJ, he doesn't have that delivery. Like when you're talking to him off the air kind
right.
of thing.
But when he's going into an answer, and I'm not not somebody who can mimic somebody's voice.
Me neither.
But if I were somebody, I think AJ'd be a guy you could do very easily.
Well, Luis Arraez is a really good addition to
our
ball
club. Yeah,
you
sound like Scraby trying to do AJ Preller there, is what you sound like, to be honest with you.
I'll take it.
But yeah, that's Luis Arraez. Also, wanted to hear this answer. Ben and Woods asked AJ to evaluate not only Matt Waldron, but what about Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito? Remember, Vasquez and Brito, they're the two guys that you're, basically getting something from in exchange for that Juan Soto move. And I'm curious to hear what AJ had to say about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, you're looking at guys that are continuing to develop, in Brito and Waldron. They got opportunity last year at the big league level, and I think they're continuing to learn and grow, and there's going to be some growing pains from that standpoint. So, I think with Brito, I think he spring training, he performed very well. And as we've gotten to the year, I think, ultimately the pitch mix, the ability to command the heater, that's always been his strength, is throwing a lot of fastball strikes with the changeup, kind of getting to a consistent breaking ball has been a little bit of a challenge for him so far. And again, he's kind of had, he's kind of filled in when we've needed him, and filled some different roles so far for us. And I think getting into a consistent spot with all of his pitches, definitely his breaking stuff, kind of getting that pitch mix down and getting into a role that I think he's able to learn from and grow with and be consistent with. I think that'll be, part of his deal. And then I think with Matt, again, like the knuckleball, we've had, there's been some moments of, some really good games, the Giants and Dodger games earlier this year. Last couple outings, he struggled with it and kind of, how much he blends the knuckleball in with his other stuff. And that's all part of him learning and growing as a big league pitcher. I think for us, like, for any team, it's not just our situation this year, our roster. You've always got to have, guys from your system and ultimately come up and contribute, some guys from internal. I think the nice part is, we've seen some guys like, Jeremiah Estrada, both at AAA and the big leagues, and now Adrian Morey home, that, are interesting, and they keep getting better. So, I'm not sure exactly who or what. I know we've got, we've got some numbers in depth, and we've got some guys we're going to give opportunity to. And I think if we're going to be a very competitive team, those guys are going to take that opportunity to step up and keep getting better. And some of the flashes we're seeing, they're going to make them more consistent.
All right, AJ, thank you very much to Ben and Woods. Like I said, you can hear that entire interview. Go back to 97.3 The Fan SD. We got to check traffic before we can bring Sam Levitt in for the pregame show.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive-Thru Oil Change, your 15-minute instant drive-thru oil change. Got a collision now on the Balboa off-ramp south on 163, and the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a stalled vehicle in the second lane from the left, northbound 15 before Bernardo Center. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your drive-thru oil change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. With all the rain lately, Valvoline is also offering replacement wiper blades. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com, SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Sammy Levitt is hovering. He's ready for the pregame show.
He's definitely hovering.
But before we get to him, though, this just came in. Rashee Rice, the KC Chiefs wide receiver, already in trouble for speeding and causing a big accident. Now a suspect in an alleged assault in Dallas. We'll keep our eye on that. See you tomorrow.